At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It's great to be with you guys today. Not great. not great. It's weird after that game. You know, after a loss the next day, I haven't worn my Victory Monday shirt from Homage in a long time. But it sucks because, like, you're not even... I know we're out of the playoffs. We're out of the playoffs before. Like, Shanahan was even talking about it in the press clippings, or that, you know what, we felt like we were done with the playoffs after last week's loss against the Rams. And I felt like that was true. That's where I was. I know some of you guys weren't there. But, man, like, I just – the taste of losing is just a killer. It's a killer, man. And I just get so upset. Even afterwards, I woke up today with a killer headache, still got a killer headache. I don't get migraines, but it's like pretty dang close. I don't know. I don't know what migraines are. But man, my head has just been bugging all day. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to record. I'm not feeling great. But then I was like, man, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a show out. Then you got Christmas and holidays. I was like, nah, I want to do a damn show. We can tough this out. And I'm so glad you guys are here. Y'all are the freaking heartbeat and soul of the 40 Hours Rush Podcast. This is episode 1,293. We're approaching 1,300, which is awesome. Thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, David Gill. You guys, all the hashtag CCs, appreciate you, Mike, Monkey Boy. You guys are incredible. Appreciate you guys. So today what I want to do, usually our day after a game, we glance through grades, and we used to spend a lot more time on that. You know, we'd spend, but I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to touch on a couple things. Already got my very first film breakdown on the offense, first half up on the49ersrush.com. So if you want to go watch the tape, it's bad. It's really, really bad. Offensively, this team has been bad, really bad. In the past six games, and all of these games have been like, all right, now it's time, now it's time, now it's time, now it's time if we're going to do it. The 49ers offense has scored more than 17 points once in six games, and that was coming off a bye week. Not it. And, you know, I fault the defense for way more because, I mean, if you just compare offense versus defense for the 49ers, I don't think it's really, really close. Actually, it's getting closer and closer as things go on. You look at these stats. I still think the offense is better, but the defense is just god-awful. It has been god-awful. It continues to be god-awful. But now the offense is kind of catching up to it. you don't score over 17 points, you don't win in the NFL. And you scored over 17 once in 6 weeks. You won that game. That's it. You lost the other five. You lost to the Seahawks 17. Packers, you scored 10. Bills, you scored 10. Rams, you scored 6. Dolphins scored 17. You lost all those. The only one that you won was against the Bears. You scored 38. I mean, you just went ham. You finally got to play another team that telegraphs cover three coverage like we do everybody else, and you run up the score on them. Ah, man. But, yeah, Lauren right here, I'm with you, man. It sucks. And so, excuse me, like these games, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like it. Right here, Bobo, I wish I could see what you see in Kyle Shanahan, because all I see is failure after failure. Not, yeah, that's, Bobo, see, like, you can't say that when you have a top five offense year after year after year. You can't say that. Like, no, I'm not saying you could say that, and you did say that, and that's fine. But, man, you look at the 49ers offense, like, and what it's been since Shanahan showed up, this might be the worst. Let me look. 2020 was the worst, but you've had three top five offensive years, one top 10 offensive year on top of that. Yeah, like, yeah, I understand the criticism, more than warranted with what we're seeing out there. It's terrible. It's terrible. Whether it's players, whether it's coaching, whether it's play calling. Yeah, but man, you've seen, like, have you not seen the top 5 years? Like, we just finished back-to-back top five offensive years. That's what I see in Shanahan. Does that mean he shouldn't be criticized? No, but you don't fire coaches coming off a Super Bowl, like, appearance. You don't do that. Literally, we just played a team that has zero playoff wins and zero division titles since Mike McDaniel's be there, and they're not firing him. Like, I don't know. Now, you do another year, then yes. All right, cool. If this happens again next year, cool. But no, and I know I'm in the minority, and that's okay. And if you are one of the people that is hardcore in my, you know, DMs and inboxes, Kyle Shanahan's the worst coach of the NFL. He should be fired. He should never coach in the NFL again. And I'm just like, man, I'm sorry. I just don't see that. And I know if I post a video, 5 reasons why Shanahan should be fired, it'd do great. It'd do 20 times the numbers, but that's not authentic, and that's not what I believe. If I'm chasing clicks and if I'm chasing that, that's what I would post. And I'm sure somebody else is going to post that. I'm sure somebody else is going to do really well. And that other person might actually believe that. I know that there are people there that believe that. I'm just not one of them. I have seen that what Kyle Shanahan does works. And even for the people that say that all he does is choke and he blows the big games, that's cool too. The offense walked off 3 times with the lead in the fourth quarter in overtime against the Chiefs of the Super Bowl. Sorry. Yeah, you sucked the first 3 quarters, but when it mattered most, you performed. Defense laid an egg, and we've picked up right after that this season. The defense has been the worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL this year, despite having the second highest payroll. And yeah, some injuries have been out there. We're not even close to a top 5 or top 10 injured defense currently. We still suck. We still suck, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, that's the difference. And yeah, criticism needs to be on the offense. I just criticized the offense. It's all across the board. Special teams, defense, offense, all of them. It's terrible. Monkey Boy, hate not being able to watch the highlights after the game. Appreciate you powering through, JC. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun whenever you get beat by bad teams. Dolphins, a bad team. Rams, a bad team. Seahawks, bad team. Shoot, who else we got? Let's stick with this, because we have lost to so many bad teams this year. Vikings are good. Rams aren't. Okay. Cardinals are not a good football team. They beat us. Chiefs are great, obviously. And again, terrible offense. They haven't scored over 30 points once in, I think, 2 years now. Or 31 points, I think, is what it was. But yeah, like, Chiefs offense ain't doing anything. They're winning with defense and special teams. That's what they're doing. Patrick Mahomes' statistical career, not great. Or this year, not great. Doesn't matter. You got a good defense, you can win. We don't have a good defense. We don't have a good defensive coordinator. We lost Seahawks, not a good team. Bills, Packers, good teams. Rams, not a good team. lost to the Dolphins, not a good team. Like, we have lost to bad teams. Bad teams. Oh, no, story. And we're going to talk some first-round draft picks and update kind of the draft order. We're picking 11th currently, which could get better. If the Saints win tonight, so everybody's pulling for the Saints, which is weird. I hate the Saints. The 49ers would jump into the top 10. They'd be the 10th pick if the draft started today. He says, Kyle's going to draft the Boise State running back at 11. Just watch. No, Aston Gentry, do not do that. Do not. He needs to go to a power run game. Shoot, we don't run the ball anyway. Last two games, you had 18 rushes, 19 rushes, and lost close games. We're built to run the ball, but we don't do it. And you could say, well, Patrick Taylor sucked, and he did. He was awful. He's the worst graded player for the 49ers in uniform, but we still average 4.5 yards a carry. You still should have ran the ball 25-plus times. Throwing the ball with Brock Purdy 40-plus times is not a recipe for success, not with how this team's built. Not with how this team's built. Not with how this team's built. It's not. It's not. I would argue no team should be throwing the ball 40-plus times a week, let alone us back-to-back and one of those times it was raining. Ugh. Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Let's see here. Field goals don't win it. Missed field goals sure as hell don't win it. Going for it on the three right there. I don't have a problem with the field goal at that point and, you know, kind of where the game was. I think the score was 7-6 whenever we kicked the field goal before the half. I don't mind. Like, there wasn't much time left in the half. Get your points. Like, I'm not mad at it. It'd be different if there was still a lot of play. And if you go for it, don't get it, they have to march 97 yards. That wasn't necessarily the case because the half was drawn to a close. So I didn't mind the field goal there. We made that one. We missed the other one. But, yeah, Kyle Shanahan's not super aggressive for sure, especially in the first half, at the end of the first half. He's going to take those points always. Always, always, always. Right here, Kyle's offense isn't good enough to win a chip. It was last year, and it was the year before. Yeah, the Brock Purdy injury against the Eagles, that kind of ruined that. And then, again, offense walked off the field 3 times with the lead in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl in overtime. I don't know. And again, if you don't believe Brock Purdy's or Kyle's offense is good enough to win the chip, then Andy Reid's isn't either. Their offense isn't that great this year at all. But they win with the great defense. And they've continued to win. And they've won with offense, and they've won with defense, and they've won with both. You got to have good coordinators. We don't have that. The Sentinel, appreciate it. I love the graphic, by the way. He says, the level-headed content creators who are consistent through good times and bad are usually the ones with the best analysis of the team. I don't know if you were mentioning me there. That's cool if you weren't, but I agree. I can't do the click chasing stuff, man. It's just not me. But I know that there are other people that are there. And, you know, you look across, you know, shout out to freaking Kirk Herbstreit. I don't know if you guys watched the clip where him and Al Michaels were making fun of ESPN First Take. That was awesome. Calling them out and just, man, that was awesome. And I know Stephen Smith, and I actually like Shannon Sharp, but not for sports takes. I like Shannon Sharp for just being a personality, but never on sports takes. That dude just, whatever. But I actually really enjoy watching like his Shay and Shay program and all the interviews that he does. He has a good guest. I love that, but not for sports takes. I love that. I love that Herbstreit is like, oh, yeah, First Take, Ryan Day was supposed to be fired months ago. Like, yeah, I'm cool with that. But I don't want bad things, and I'm not, like, attacking whatever. I'm just saying that's not for me. If that's for you, a lot of my closest friends listen to the clickbait 49ers whatever people, and that's – I ain't got no problem with that. I'm just not going to listen to it. I'm not going to engage in a dialogue with those people that don't understand football, don't care about football, and literally just how can I upset the most people. If that's where you start with your take, I'm just not – like, I just don't want to engage in that. That's just not where the realm that I am. Whenever I was a kid, I used to big time, right? Like, what if we traded, right? We'd be walking to school back in the 90s, and it was me, CJ, and Adrian, right? And, you know, CJ was a hardcore Steelers fan. CJ was a Steelers fan. I was a Niners guy. And then Adrian was a Cowboys guy. And we would play all the time. What if we traded Emmitt Smith to the 49ers for, you know, so it's like we would play those games. That never happens, but that was cool. Now, after coaching and being around it and watching film, like I want to have a conversation with, and that's why I record with people that I record with. Like, I'm not really looking for those things. And if you are, that's not a bad thing. And I hope they make all the money. I hope they do well. It's just outside. I don't want to spend my time on that. That's just me. It's my personality. I hope they do well. There's enough room for everybody to eat at this table. The fact that I can provide for my family, given I'll never be rich, I'm not trying to be the number one content creator. I'm not looking for a million subscribers. I just want to feed my family and do what I enjoy, which is talking 49ers football. And if there's a take I disagree with, I'm not going to just say it just because. That's not who I'm going to be. Maybe one day I sell out. Right now, it ain't there.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that. Your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And Bobo, this I 1,000% agree with you. He says, yet, JC, Kyle passes over and over again. I hate that. I think it's stupid. You opened up pass, pass, run, which was the exact formula of the whole game. You had a 2-to-1 pass-to-run ratio. It's not how this team's built. It's not how you win whenever you have a bad defense. Yet we continue to do the same thing in back-to-back weeks. I'm with you 1,000%. I have a lot of criticisms of Kyle Shanahan. I voice those. That doesn't mean I think that we should fire him. The 49ers, can Colton McKivitz play offensive guard? No, and I don't think he can play tackle either. Do I think that he's horrible? No, but I think that he plays the worst position in the NFL, right tackle. I think is the least talented position in the NFL, offense, defense. It's the worst. And on top of that, he struggles versus the bull rush, and he struggles versus the speed rush. He's not very good. He should never be a part of your plan moving forward. As a starter, if you want to pay him as a swing guy and a backup guy and draft somebody to compete with him, that is the proper playbook. But the problem is the 49ers have signed this guy to two extensions now and never even drafted a replacement or even attempt to draft somebody to compete with him. That's the problem. You want to know my Kyle critique? You want to know my Chris Forrester critique? It's that. It's being okay not with average offensive linemen, but below Aaron Banks, below average offensive linemen. Jake Brendel, below average offensive lineman. Colton McKivitz, below average offensive. That's the problem. The 49ers thought they found a cheat code and like, oh, we'll get these hyper-athletic guys that could, Aaron Banks don't even fit that one. We'll get these athletic guys that can move around and we'll disguise them. Well, that works when you're running the ball. But whenever you just drop back 40-plus times against a quality defensive interior like the Miami Dolphins, yeah, and a quality defensive coordinator like we do not have in Weaver for the Dolphins, you get abused. Forced the interception, got their three sacks, all the penalties. I mean, Jake Brendel forgot the snap count twice. And so, can Colton play guard? No. If you are susceptible to the bull rush, you can't play guard. That's not him. That tip pass to Kittle that was wide open in the end zone. Again, I said three factors. Brock Purdy's height, Colton McKivitz getting bull rushed so fast, and Brock Purdy patting the ball. He's a Marino guy. That's what Marino used to do. He does it all the damn time, and it costs him almost every time. It never helps him. I hate it. I hate patting the ball. Whenever, you know, I coached quarterbacks for 2 years. I didn't enjoy it as much. I'm a defensive guy. I'm a defensive mentality. But, like, we would do the drill where both hands are on the ball, both hands above the shoulder, and you're going in and out of the pylons. If that hand comes off, you're doing 20 push-ups. Like, both hands on all the time. And so you do the shuffle up and over and back through and all that stuff. You do it all the time. I didn't enjoy coaching quarterback. It just wasn't my thing. I want to kill people. I don't want to, like, I want energy. I want violence. From a quarterback position, it was a little bit difficult. It just wasn't my personality. Again, back to, I am what I am. And that ain't going to change. And so, it is. It is what it is. What's up, Josh? Appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Oh, here we go. Look at this, Citadel. He's talking about me, Brad Raj. I know all three of those guys personally. Well, myself. I know those two guys personally. They're great human beings. They are great guys. They do great things for the community. I could not support them enough. However, in the future, I can. Amazing human beings. Like, I really do believe that. And there are so many great people that are involved in this industry just with the 49ers alone. That is awesome. And anytime I get dragged into whatever, which happens more than I like freaking Bleacher Report and some guy named Brad or whatever with 200 plus followers, I don't care who tweets out a stat first or if I tweeted it out. Leave me the hell out of that. I ain't playing with those people. I don't want to be around that. It's so I always try to joke around and then leave. And I usually just mute the conversation so that I don't know. And I'm done with that, man. Ugh. Captain Insano shows no mercy. He says, Dear John, finish this sentence. Jake Moody has blank games remaining on the Niners. No mercy. I'd let him finish the year. No. I probably wouldn't cut him right now. I don't know. So, like, you made your decision last week whenever you made no changes besides Devondre Campbell and Ambry Thomas. That ain't enough to boil anybody's blood. You're hoping to right the ship. Definitely didn't happen this week. Offense, defense, special teams. That's three wrongs that you lost all three phases of the game against a poor team. Would I cut Jake Moody now? I might let him finish the year, but I'm not bringing him back or at least going to have competition because, and I think that this is, you know, a part of it because he's a rookie and you drafted him the highest drafted rookie in the NFL. Most of that contract is fully guaranteed. So if you cut him, you save $1 million next year. Like, why the hell is he making that much money anyway? You cut him post June. You save 1.2. Yeah, I'm cutting that dude pre-June. $1 million? Yeah. Cut that dude. Wah, wah. And it sucks because Yeah, there's no, I don't think that, like, the game day checks and stuff don't matter. So it's not like you save cap space, you cut them now because of the rookie deal. Yeah, I'm moving on. It's time for him to go somewhere else. Don't ever draft a kicker or a punter ever again. That should be 10 commandments of NFL football. Don't do that. Don't do that. I let him finish out this year, and then we just move on. Every backup we've had instead of him is way better, is at least kicking field goals. And I'm going to get somebody with a long leg that can kick a touchback, because even though he has the quote-unquote longest leg, dude can't even kick touchbacks anymore. Nope, 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 nope. Nope, nope, nope. sweep the leg, Johnny. I think I read your comment appropriately. I love it. I love it. Anyway, so let's look quickly just at the grades, and then we'll wrap it up and we'll look forward. And I want to focus more time on just some guys just to drop in your ear that I think could fit what the Niners do in their first round. And I'm only focusing on three positions: tackles, offensive tackles, defensive ends, defensive tackles. That's it. There's no other position that should be graded. And the best position available, people, the BPA, the 49ers don't do that. They've never done that. Not since Shanahan showed up. And maybe you disagree with that. Maybe they should take a wide receiver. Maybe they should take a quarterback. I don't think they should. Now, I will do all the draft work for them. But starting out, left tackles, defensive end, defensive tackles, that's it. There is not another position that should be focused early on. And last year's first round pick was a mistake, not because of who the wide receiver Ricky Pearsall is. I'm kind of excited for his development moving forward. It was just a waste of draft capital. It was stupid. It was stupid. You needed offensive line and defensive line help, and you passed that over for a second round wide receiver that you reached on by like 20 picks. It was stupid. It was stupid. It was stupid. Yeah. Not a Ricky Pearsall critique, how you build your team critique after you pay Brandon Ayuk, after you pay Juwan Jennings, after you keep Debo. You did not need to draft another wide receiver. And then even though you did draft him, you haven't used him. No more than four catches in the game at any point. Man, ugh. Obviously the injuries and the gunshot and all that stuff matters, but terrible. All right, highest rated player offensively, Debo with his highest grade of the year. 89.4. Debo looked good. And Filmy looked good too. Like, obviously, he jumped off the screen watching the broadcast, but in the game tape in the first half, good Lord. Dude would look like Debo. And here's the thing. I don't think Debo gets cut. I really don't. I didn't think he was going to get cut after the terrible game last week. I just didn't want to bring that up because I didn't want my DMs full. Shanahan ain't moving on from that guy. What has Pearsall shown that he could take over that role? Ayuk's injury, man, that was gruesome. That wasn't just a straight-up ACL tear. That was contact blew the knee out. How soon is he going to be ready? You want to move off Pearsall, you better do, or move off Debo, you better trade him before the draft. And what are you going to get, a fourth, a third, maybe a third? Maybe you combine a fourth and get a third-round pick? Nah. And Debo showed up late. Yeah, I wish he would have showed up when it mattered. But Debo has to have something, whether it's Jalen Ramsey or somebody talking trash on him. He has to create stuff. And there's people that are like that, you know, upstairs. But, yeah, I hate to say this, man. What's up, Mark? Depster, Debo is Shetty's BFF. Yeah. Shanahan, make sure to point that out. Anytime he gets a question, I talk to Debo every day, which I don't think it's a bad thing. Necessarily, when your coach is so close to your players, I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think it can be a bad thing whenever you keep doing these extensions for injured players. That's a bad thing. Should have done a physical for Christian McCaffrey before you did that. Yeah, I don't like Diva whatever's anyway, but wide receivers just chock full with them. Anyway, Eric Saubert, only 10 snaps, but got his touchdown. That was cool. He had the second highest grade, 81. Kittle got an 80 grade. George Kittle was amazing. God, George Kittle was so good. Just nonstop amazing. George Kittle, all-pro year. They give that to Brock Bowers. I'm going to be pissed. First-team all-pro. That dude has as many yards, twice as many touchdowns. George Kittle has as many receiving yards and twice as many touchdowns on, like, 30 fewer targets. Not to mention he's a much better run blocker. George Kittle better get first team all pro. I'm going to lose my damn mind. Brock Purdy, again, a lot of people say it was Brock Purdy's game yesterday or fault yesterday, or you can't win with Purdy and you can't trust 13. Man, I completely disagree with that take. There's a lot of games you can criticize Brock Purdy on. I did not think yesterday was. The turnover, he got hit, and I don't think that was a bad throw. I went back to the tape. Was it a tight window? Sure was. Were you giving somebody a chance? Sure was. But guess what? That is a Shanahan staple, that layered throw, that drift concept. We threw it, I think, six times in the first half. Six times. I don't think that was a bad decision, personally. I just went back and looked at the still frames. I'm sorry. Brock Purdy's done that so many times that have not resulted in turnovers. Would that one have been intercepted? Possibly. The corner was reading it better, had a much better drop. I don't think it was a bad read. I don't think it was. I really, really don't. I do not think that this is the game that Brock Purdy, should he have thrown it 41 times? No. Run the damn ball, Kyle. Run the damn ball. But Purdy, 71 grade, good. Dominic Pooney, 69.5. Worst player, Patrick Taylor. God, he was awful. He was so bad. Never saw Izzy out there playing at all. Wish we give somebody a chance. Jake Brindle, second worst player, 48.7 grade. Yikes, yikes, yikes. So bad. Jake Brindle got to go, man. Gots to go. All right, flip it over. Defensive side. Number one player, D. Winters. Who would have guessed? Instead, we stuck with Campbell. I wish somebody would have been out there saying, man, let's let D. Winters play. Let's let D. Winters play. Oh, really? Oh, everybody would say that? Oh, man. Yeah, film has shown D. Winters belongs. Finished with an 83.9 grade. Now, what a perfect game. He had some issues, but the athleticism, the energy, the effort showed consistently. Nick Bosa's second highest rated, even though he kind of disappeared. He had two pressures. He had two tackles. That was it. But consistent where he's supposed to be. He's not defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa, but wasn't bad. He was playing against two bad tackles. No hits on the quarterback. 71 grade's not good, okay? So the fact that he's our second, our defense sucks. Our defense is terrible. Jair Brown played four snaps. He finished third. Malik Collins played 41. He finished with a 63 grade. Not good. Evan Anderson, my favorite player, who I've been... Not favorite player. Sam O is like my new favorite guy, but I've been saying Evan Anderson needs to play more. He got bullied. It was not his game. He was the lowest rated player with a 40 grade. Drake Greenlaw played four snaps. He had a 40 grade. Malik Mustafa, 41 grade. Not good. Two missed tackles. Jordan Elliott's been terrible all year, but they stick with him. Yeah, not good. DFF bad. Matos bad. Floyd bad. Just bad, bad, bad. Defense was bad. It was so bad. Ugh. Yikes. I do not. Ugh. Defensive tape has frustrated me a lot this year. Just because it's just so bad. Ugh. It's so bad. Man. Right here, Tommy says, Brindle has been like a brother to you, John. That's right. He has. If you knew my family, you are 100% correct, Tommy. You are correct, my friend. He really, really has. Sad, though. Look at this, Rick. Appreciate you, Rick. You are very kind. It says, Merry Christmas. Dad Chapman, your family and your friends. Let's go, Niners. Yeah, it's Christmas time and the holidays for those that celebrate. Hopefully, you have wonderful holidays, everybody out there. But I know, man, holidays, my least favorite time of year. Christmas, I love my wife. I love my family. I love spending all my money. My least favorite day of the year, which is not a good way to live, but it's been that way since I was a kid. I've never really enjoyed holidays ever. It's just family fight growing up, man. It's just what it was. But for those of you who are alone, just know that you are loved, and please take time to reach out to family members that you haven't talked to in a while. Whether you're mad at them or they pissed you off or they screwed you over, please take the time. People are lonely out there, and those days, they just last longer. But if you are part of a lovely, happy family, which I hope all of you are, man, enjoy those times. It is awesome. Hope you have a great time with you and your family. And, man, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, whatever it is you and your celebrate or don't celebrate. Just know you're thought about and you are loved. Y'all are awesome. JP, look at this. Been a member for 9 months. I think it's been longer than that, JP. We've been hanging out, man, I think 4 years now. Me, you, and Elle. I missed you on Seattle this year. That bothered me, but that's all right. He says, undisciplined, unprepared, and unable. Use the three use alliteration. That's nice. To get most of this roster coaching has been the worst. Nobody has gotten better with this coaching staff. I agree. Nobody. Who's gotten better this year? Juwan Jennings? That's it. End of list. Coaches are supposed to make their players better. We don't do that. Gosh, man. Mark, I hate the holidays too. We're just a bunch of Grinches in here, man. Yeah. Right here, Bobo, you think Kyle would go get an OC? No. With the ownership insisting, no, they're not. No, Kyle has complete control and will have complete control for as long as he's here. Whenever that changes, yeah, Mark, this is the appropriate thing. All I want for Christmas is an offensive line. I just want a coaching staff that values the offensive line. That's what I want. Man, right here, B Lord, John, you're making a case for me to move off Kyle. Don't let me sway you. He deserves one more year for sure. I mean, that's a minimum. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I know people disagree with that. I'm not trying to diminish or discount those that are ready to move on. I hope that's not what's coming across. I don't think that it's time to move on yet, especially with the way this team's built. I do think that you have enough pieces in place where you can right the ship. You just got to have a good defense and a good offensive line. You've got to have a good defensive coordinator that helps your team. You can't be the worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL. You have an average fourth quarter offense. The 49ers offense is average, right? Literally 16th out of 32 teams. Defense dead last. So we have the worst fourth quarter discrepancy currently. Which what? You were first in defense last year. You went first to last. Like, I don't know how that's not talked about all the time. Like, how in the world do you go from leading the NFL in fourth quarter defense to 32nd? 32nd. You still have the second highest paid defensive paid roster in the NFL. How? And the injuries don't even matter. We're not injured anymore. Yeah, Hargrave's not out there. Guess what? Hargrave was never good for us, ever. He had a couple games. He way more bad games than good games. Yeah, Greenlaw didn't play that much. All right, cool. You got two guys out. Who else are our defensive starters we don't have out there? We have everybody. We still suck. We still suck. I don't understand why nobody talks about this. Oh, man. So what do we want for Christmas? We want an offensive line, a new defensive coordinator, a new special teams coordinator. That's bare minimum for next year. That seems simple. Now, 12 Days of Christmas still going on, so if you want your gift from them, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag.
While other books make promises, MyBookie delivers. This holiday season, the deck is in your favor with MyBookie's 12 Days of Christmas. Festive lineup and can't-miss opportunities for bettors to cash in. Risk-free Thursdays, NFL bets that you could bet, and if you don't hit, guess what? You don't lose any money. Super boost and free bets are out there as well. Weekly casino giveaways. It only costs 50 cents to spend on bet soft slots to enter. I'm telling you, at MyBookie, it's not just about taking your bets. It's about giving you the tools to elevate your game with the road to New Orleans, bowl games, Christmas Day sports betting, NFL action, NBA doubleheaders. It's your season to win. And with the 12 Days of Christmas, which starts on December 19th, so don't wait, lock it in today. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, with your first deposit. MyBookie will give you a little extra to start your holiday hot. There's a reason MyBookie has been the go-to bettor and the betting sports book of the 49ers Rush podcast for 10 years. 10 years, guys, they have been doing this. Whether it's UFC, NFL, college ball, basketball, you name it. Now, rollovers do apply, and if you have questions, make sure to ask their customer service. They are A++. But whatever you bet, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Dude, I love this comment. The Sentinel says, Kyle Shanahan needs to get Jim Schwartz. They should be talking on the phone right now. That's tampering. You'll lose a draft pick. You do that, but I'm with you. Yeah, I would love Jim Schwartz. You don't have to trade for him. I would trade a third round pick to get Jim Schwartz as our DC next year. I want somebody that runs a 4-man front. Obviously, you need to change some things. I'm not anti wide nine like a lot of people are, but you have to have an identity. You have to have a personality to your defense. And you watch the 49ers defense. That's why I call him Pet Rock, Nick Sorensen. Like, we have no personality on defense that comes across whatsoever. We run the most vanilla scheme in the NFL or college football, maybe even high school. It's that bland. And like, people will show me like one or two clips. And again, I love it when people send me clips. I do watch all the tape nonstop. I've never missed a play. I have not missed one play on coach's tape in 4.5 years. But doesn't mean I catch everything. But I love it when people like try to like, no, you're wrong. Look at this. He disguised this play. And I'm like, yeah, that was one play 5 weeks ago. He hasn't done that again. I would love to get Jim Schwartz. And I'm not even like fire Sorensen. Just demote him. Put him on special teams. Do something. Here we go. Monkey Boy, appreciate the super chat. Give me an offensive line. We have a secondary that has some good foundational pieces that can help buy time for the D-line. Need a D-line as bad as an O-line. I think we need both. So perfect question, comment. Let's transition. I'm like, again, I don't care what's available. Obviously, you got to judge everybody. You got to go through and you got to evaluate all the talent. That they will. They'll do that. But it's a left tackle, a defensive end, or defensive tackle only in the first step. I don't care. I don't care what you do in free agency. I don't care who you re-sign. Don't care. You got to draft these things. You have to draft these things. We didn't draft one defensive lineman last year, and look at us. We haven't drafted one offensive tackle in 3 years, and look at us. Look at us. Look at us. We're moving Spencer Burford, who, guess what, has been better. Then Aaron Pace has all year played left tackle. He looked good. So here are the 49ers currently slated to pick 11th. If the draft was today, Saints play today. Saints lose, we stay 11. Saints win, we go to 10. Here are those spots. And again, we've been working on the draft book. How many pages we got now? We got 79 pages already. Like, it's just collecting. I've only done one film breakdown. I'm going to add another one this week. So let's start with the left tackle. I got two guys that should be the targets there, okay, at the left tackle draft spot. The first is Will Campbell out of LSU. Now, he's slated to go pretty high, probably top 10. And a lot of people have him as the top rated left tackle or offensive tackle of the group. 6'6", 324. He's big. He's got, and here's what's crazy about the top two guys. We're only going to talk about two tackles. Will Campbell, LSU, and Kelvin Banks, Jr., Texas, both have a lot of experience, and they're only 21 years old. Both started from the jump as freshmen. So you're getting the experience. So like Will Campbell, 38 career starts at left tackle, 2,500 plus snaps. That's incredible. So I went through and rated just all of the offensive linemen on how many snaps they had, and I divided them into brackets based on starts and based on experience. Both these guys are at 7. Like you're not worried about. So they both have in the SEC, they've gone against all these left tackles we talk about, have gone against all the defensive ends we're going to talk about for the most part, because most of them are SEC-type guys because you're just playing great week in, week out. So Will Campbell, 6'6", 324, 21 years old, size, length, experience, 3-year starter, freaking anchor. Like he's awesome. Will he be available when the Niners are on the board? That's kind of the question. I mean, he's just an absolute stud, man. Really, really like him. He's got academic honor roll as well. So intelligence, all those things. Can he play on the right side? Probably. You know, if Trent comes back, great. But, man, you let Will Campbell play right tackle. And you let him compete with Colton McKivitz, and he'll win that damn job easily. That's simple. That's what should happen. That's what you should do if you get Will Campbell. Now, the versatility, I gave him an 8 rating. And we're still, these are all fluid numbers, whatever else. Kelvin Banks, 6'4", 336. So he's shorter, but he's thicker. Now, the difference with Kelvin Banks is upside is higher. He's way more athletic, and even though he's bigger, he moves better. Now, his technique and his footwork isn't as clean, but he's so athletic and moves so well. It's just like, all right, you clean up this footwork. Dude, he could do whatever you want. Again, 40 starts at left tackle for Texas, 2,500-plus snaps, just like Will Campbell. They play basically 3 consecutive years at the exact same time. Athleticism, consistency, upside. Like, the dude just wins, and he wins against the best. And like, they played Michigan week 2. That's the tape I did. Both Michigan outside edge rushers are going to be drafted. Both Michigan defensive tackles are going to be drafted. He played against all 4 of them in the tape that I broke down. Handled his own versus all 4. No problems with Mason Graham, who we're going to talk about in a second, defensive tackle, in the run game. They only went against each other like 5 times. Kelvin Banks won every single rep. Like, in the run game, against the most stout run stuffer in the draft maybe the past 3 years, Kelvin Banks held his own with ease. He's that good. Offensive, and I know I'm a Longhorn, so my bias is here. I put that out there. I'm a fan of the Longhorns. That's why I love this dude. Hand placement can get high. He had 14 penalties in his career in 3 years. It's not great. It's not bad either. It's not Jake Brendel bad. Very patient, anchor and flexibility is present for tough situations. Run blocking solid, gets to the second level with ease. At his size, it's amazing to watch. He is freaking awesome. Really, really, really like him. So, like, if we're going tackle and you want the 49ers to focus on tackle in the first round, Will Campbell, probably going to be gone when we pick him, to be honest. Kelvin Banks is right there in that area. I think 8 to 12. My guess is Will Campbell kind of 4 to 8. And then you've got, you know, Banks 6 to 12. That's kind of the early. Now, it's before the combine. Things could change. Medical testing, physical stuff, whatever. Like, stuff could change. But those are my 2 tackle prospects that fit where we're going. And yeah, right here, story 4. If 49ers want a more athletic guy, usually that's what they want. It's Banks Jr. easily. I agree with that. The only time they have shied away from that is whenever they draft Aaron Banks, not related. That didn't work out. Creed Humphrey was on the board. We win a Super Bowl if you just make that one little change. I truly do believe that. Maybe 2. If you would have drafted Creed Humphrey instead of Aaron Banks, and I like Aaron Banks as a person. I really, really do. He's been awful for back-to-back years. Every backup that has played for him has been better than him. Everyone, including Nick Sakel, who doesn't even play your position. Ugh, JP, draft the trenches. Yes. Yes. Right here, if they can't get Banks, it might make sense to trade Trent to a contender and extend more. I don't think you could trade that contract, Trent Williams. Like, those contracts, not tradable. And I think Trent would retire. Trent, you remember, said he was going to retire when they threatened to trade him to Minnesota. He's like, dude, you trade me there. I'm not going to sign a contract. I'm going to retire. I want to play for Kyle. For the people that hate Kyle, you don't get Trent Williams without Kyle Shanahan. That's the only reason why he came here. That's the only reason why he re-signed here. He could have went to Kansas City. Kansas City offered him the exact same deal, a little bit lighter, and he chose to come back with us on the second deal. Trent's with us, or he's not anywhere. And so, like, again, we're spoiled because we went Joe Staley for a decade, and now we've had Trent Williams, which is crazy, and no slight to Joe whatsoever. Trent Williams has been way better than Joe Staley. Way better. Now, Trent Williams, now in his career, I don't think that he's the best anymore at left tackle. With what we saw this year, I still think he's top 3, top 4 guaranteed, but he's not the best anymore. Does he deserve an All-Pro? Maybe second team. I'm cool with that, but probably not with all the injured times he's missed. And like, but yeah, if Trent, I think Trent wants to play. You look at that contract. There's so much money still available. Now, Trent Williams has made over almost close to $200 million in his career. I don't know what exactly his motivation is or is not. Dude's awesome. I freaking love him. And I hope he comes back. And I think he will. That contract, I think he's going to come back. I really, really do. Now, let's look at defensive ends. I've got five of these guys. I'm going to go rather quick on these ones. Let me just give you the rundown, okay? These are defensive ends that you could have possibly in the first round. Oh, I forgot to bring this up. Tonight, we've got our Zoom hangout meeting. Tonight, 5:30. I'm hoping I'm feeling better, but even if I'm not, we're going to have the meeting. 5:30 tonight, the49ersrush.com or our Patreon. This is where I get to hear from you guys. So join us over there. It's going to be a blast. It's already set up. The Zoom link set up. You want to talk? Cool. You want to turn your camera on? Cool. You just want to turn your camera off and mute yourself and just listen to the conversation? That's cool too. But amazing people that join us. I freaking love that time. All right. Defensive end. All right. Abdul Carter, out of Penn State is like the unanimous number one speed guy, 6'3", 250. I think he goes top five. So not going to spend a lot of time on him, but you know, he's probably going to be the number one guy. Mikael Williams is, I think, the best 49ers fit out of Georgia. 6'5", 265. That's Nick Bosa. 6'5", 265. Now, this is kind of the difference whenever you talk D-line versus O-line. They don't play a lot, especially at these blue blood, Georgia, Texas, you know, whatever, Penn State, blah, 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 blah. They just don't play that much. And so Mikael Williams, he's only got 1,100 snaps in his career. Now, most of those are outside, and he could play, you know, head up, kind of that 4-5 technique, but he could play outside wide 9 too. He could do anything you want. He's awesome. He is so freaking good. But limited snaps, he's 21. Like, if you told me the 49ers got edge Mikael Williams out of Georgia in the first round, I would be ecstatic. I think that this is a deeper edge draft than it is a tackle draft. And I think that you can get a quality edge in the second round, and we already have Nick Bosa for another 4 years signed. I think tackle's a bigger need, but I think this draft might sync up a little better with edge. And we know the 49ers like edge. I love Mikael Williams. I really, really do. Go Dawgs. Go Dawgs. All my family members from Georgia. Not all. A lot. All right. So that's one. James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. A lot of people bring up 6'5", 243. A little bit more of a speed guy. He's only played 900 snaps. Mikael Williams on the low end. James Pierce on the lower end. It's so like, man, is he past that threshold? 49ers like experienced players early. This guy ain't it. Experience level, he's a 4 out of 10 for his position. Do you want to spend a first-round pick on that? James Pierce is the type of guy that I think could go as high as 10 and as low as 30. Like, he's got a huge range. Not a lot of versatility. He plays basically just outside edge rusher. I don't know about him. I like him. You told me the Niners have a chance to get him in the second round or trade back up. Cool. Trade down and get him. Cool. I don't like the idea of the 49ers sitting pat and taking him with the experience. I'm not comfortable with that. And everybody always says Kyle Shanahan's too stubborn to learn. Not when it comes to the draft. Remember Reuben Foster. You drafted Reuben Foster. That didn't work out. They didn't draft any more guys with troubled backgrounds. You draft Solomon Thomas, who was a tweener. Didn't work out. They didn't draft any more of those guys. You draft Trey Lance, who had no experience. What do they do the next three drafts after that? Only draft guys with a ridiculous amount of experience. You draft Kinlaw with crazy injury question marks. They don't draft those guys anymore, especially in the first, second, or third round. Isaac Rendo, a lot of injuries throughout his whole career. He's missed 23 games. But that was a fourth-round pick, and they took the two guys you wanted, Will Shipley and Ray Davis, right before you. So, like, I think the Niners do learn with their first, second, third-round picks, for better or for worse. and they change their draft plans after they get burned. So it's somebody like a James Pierce Jr. with very limited experience, but he played in the SEC. I just think it's on the fringe. I don't think that that's where he should be going anyway, but little on the fringe. He's got some elite traits, though. Outside, you want an outside speed rusher? You're looking for that D Ford guy? That dude could do it. He could do it. Now you got two A&M guys, Nick Scorton and Stewart, both out of A&M. So Nick Scorton, hope I'm pronouncing that wrong, 6'4", 280. I like that because at 280, he's a little bit more of that buck end. That's that strong run guy, and you can kick him inside at 280. I mean, shoot, if he don't work out as an edge rusher, you have a couple hamburgers, you a three technique. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where it is. And he's played all over the place. A&M used him outside mostly. But, man, you're talking that build, 6'4", 280, that's Cam Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm not saying that's his play style. I got to do more film on him. But he's that tight. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. 6'4", 280. I love that. 1,500-plus snaps, so a lot more experience than the guys we're talking about. And then Shamar Stewart, 6'6", 290. Now you're talking Eric Armstead, right? This guy, outside, inside, A&M, they got those big old beefy boys. That's just what it is. I hate A&M more than any school that's ever existed. But it ain't got nothing to do with Shamar Stewart. It ain't got nothing to do with Nate Scorton. Like, I do my best to check the helmet at the scouting profile. Again, I think my favorite player I've ever recruited was, or like evaluated, was Creed Humphrey. And that dude played for OU, and I hate OU. I'm very biased towards Texas players, but I don't want Isaiah Bond at all. I do not like that dude's tape. Athleticism, he's incredible, the wide receiver Texas. And I do not want Cameron Williams at all. Too undisciplined, and I just don't want those penalties. And no, I do not want those players. There are Texas guys that are around the range where we're picking. I don't want them. I don't want them. So trying to show I can check my bias a little bit. So Shamar Stewart. 6'6", 290 edge rusher, 21 years old, like that. 1,200-plus snaps, like that. He is so versatile, man. I got him a 9 on the versatility, 6 on the experience. I like him. I think it's too high for him. I don't think 10, 11, 12, 13 is where he should go. I think he should go back into the first round, kind of like a Darius Robinson last year. That's who this guy is. He's last year's Darius Robinson, who went in the first round to Arizona. That's what I see out of that guy. So defensive ends, Abdul Carter, I wish. Mikael Williams seems like a match made in heaven. James Pierce, not enough experience. And then Nick Scorton, and Shamar Stewart out of A&M. Man, if you trade back or trade up, perhaps, but lacks that kind of whatever, sexy edge, could be a Pro Bowler, you know, all pro type guy. I don't think that's those guys. And if you're picking at the top 15, that's what you're swinging for. That's what I think. Now, defensive tackle, only got two guys. Bad news, they're both from Michigan. And I haven't finished my, what's it called? I'm still working through offensive linemen. I haven't finished all of my scout, my snap count stuff. I pour through PFF and go through and count each game's stats, where they lined up. So you go to the detailed settings. I totaled up what A-gap and where they are and all that stuff. I haven't done that for DTs yet, so I'm working on that. But the two guys, Mason Graham, who I think goes top five, 6'3", 320. He's just, you want to stop the run, you draft him, it's over with. The run is stopped for the next decade. He's that good. He is that good. Plus, pretty good at getting after the ball, high character, captain, literally what you want. And then his teammate, Kenneth Grant, still really good, 6'3", 39, bigger. Do the Niners go after those 6'3", 339 guys? Not too much. Not too much. But he's a disruptor. He causes problems. Those are the two consensus defensive tackles around that spot. So that's 9 guys. We're picking 11th. 9 guys. I'm curious. And yeah, CG. Oh, what's up, CG? How you doing, man? CG Ruthless, go check out his channel. I'm curious who you guys would prefer out of the left tackle, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks Jr., defensive end, Abdul Carter, Mykel Williams, James Pierce Jr., Nick Scorton, Shamar Stewart, or defensive tackle, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant. I'm curious, you guys put in the chat, like, even if you don't know, just based off of my description, which one of those players would you want out of those guys? Yeah, I see the Armstead 2.0. Yeah, I like that. Oh, we got Arkansas's Landon Jackson. Yeah, he's on that fringe. I'm curious, CG, do you see Landon Jackson as a guy that you would want in the top 11? Yeah, right here. Dislike Michigan players. Yeah, we've missed on a lot of Michigan guys. But again, don't scout the helmet. I don't like everybody always used to say, and maybe this isn't the best point to be bringing up right now, don't draft Ohio State wide receiver or quarterbacks because they all bust. Then you don't get who was my number one player that year, right? CJ Stroud. He's my number one guy. I get all the Ohio State quarterbacks haven't panned out. CJ Stroud's a freaking boss. Boss. Yeah, Michigan, Ronnie Bell, Ambry Thomas, Jake Moody. I get it. Lauren, Mason Graham fixes a ton of problems on our defense. You got to trade up for him. That's going to cost two firsts. I don't want to go another offseason with a first-round pick gone, but you would have to trade two firsts to get Mason Graham, I believe. Maybe something happens there. I don't know. Yeah, let's see here. Graham, 100%. Yep. Yeah, Banks Jr., I think, is what this one is. Center, there's no centers. First or second round grades, anywhere consensus. And that sucks. Now, I will say this. There are two centers that I absolutely love. And that's Jonah Monheim out of USC. Listen to this guy. 12 starts at center, 12 starts at left tackle, 18 starts at right tackle, 4 starts at right guard. He's played over 3,000, 3,100 plus snaps, 6'5", 311. That's our exact profile for an offensive lineman. Third round guy. Been injured a lot. Not dominant, but man, smart, versatile. The Niners love that. I've got experience, 9 for the position. Versatility, 10. He's the most versatile position player in the draft that's an interior offensive lineman. Jonah Monheim, but third round guy. Maybe back into second, but third, fourth round target. Then Jake Majors back to Texas, 6'3", 315. 54 starts at center. You want an experienced center? This dude's got 3,500 plus snaps as well. And it's funny because experience, he's a 10. He's got the most out of anybody in the interior offensive line. Versatility is a 1. That's a center-only prospect. Probably ain't going to play him at guard. Center only. So if you want the versatility, Jonah Monheim in the third round, if you want the, hey, this is going to be our center with the more experience than anybody that's maybe ever been drafted at this position, you go Jake Majors. I see Josh is saying Carter if he's available. I misread that. Graham, yep, there we go. Graham, Kelvin Banks, hands down. I dislike Texas, but he's an O. Look at that. CG, I know you're an OU guy. But yeah, Banks is for real. He's the real deal. Graham. Oh, this is awesome. I love this. And hopefully we spent some time the first half of the show looking back. Second half, we're looking forward. We're just balanced, right? All things in life, perfectly balanced. Hashtag Thanos. Let's go. Yeah, man. I think just some names to start seeing if they find a place. Y'all want to go watch some highlights? You want to feel excited about the future? Man, type in Mykel Williams highlights on YouTube and watch it. Boom. You want to learn more about the players? These are the guys that all of my first draft breakdowns are going to be are on these guys. I did Kelvin Banks Jr. I'm going to do Will Campbell, offensive lineman, LSU next. Then I'm going to work through the edge and I'm going to work through the DTs. And so it actually, the first tape I did was Texas versus Michigan. So you want to go watch that, put it on mute, watch Mason Graham and watch Kenneth Grant. It's the entire game, all 22. You can see them and how they play against Texas right there, man. That's there for you. So if you're stuck and you're frustrated and you're pissed about football, which I know we all are, all should be, start looking forward. Protect your fandom. I believe in that. we're fans of sports to be a part of the community and to enjoy life. And we're very lucky to live in a society that we're allowed to spend this money and time on something that's trivial. Let's be very honest. But whenever it gets to the point that it's starting to become toxic to you, man, check your fandom, protect it. If that means stepping away from shows, this is very counterintuitive to how I feed my family, then do that. If it means watching shows and turning the chat off, then do that. If it means, I don't know, certain podcasters, not your thing. And if I'm causing you stress and I'm causing you to not enjoy your football experience, man, I don't want to say unsubscribe, but maybe that's what's best to do. And if focusing on how bad we are now makes you mad, it makes your coffee not as enjoyable, man, start focusing on the future. Protect your fandom. I think that's huge. We started off this podcast. I had no clue what it was. It was an outlet for me to talk Niners. We're almost to episode 1300. It has evolved into education through film, coaching kind of experience, building a community, and having it, enjoying your fan experience. And if I start to take away from that or somebody else does, man, protect yourself there. I'm sure somebody's going to be mad I said that. And that's okay. You're allowed to make people mad sometimes. You say what you believe. And if that pisses somebody else off, well, that's up to them. And how they handle that, they move on from that. But that's all right. You guys are incredible, and I'm very thankful that, man, I wasn't feeling good. I still don't feel great. But I'm glad we got to spend the last hour together. I'm glad we got to talk through some of this stuff. And hopefully you feel just a little bit more excited about the future. And you should. We got 11 picks coming. Join us for tonight, Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting. If you want to support the show, man, the49ersrush.com and our Patreon. That's how I feed my family. So if you want to support us and you can't make it and you can't watch videos, that's okay. That's the best place to do it. But until next time, it's rough out there on these 49er streets, but y'all are the best of the best. Speaking of, what's up, RTP? Best of the best, my friend. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.